it's Cork Boy.
Here we are again, down in Cork.
We don't have enough podcasts in Cork.
Haven't been here in two seasons, is that true?
Lily Higgins, is that right?
Lily Higgins was season two, right?
Yeah. Well, we're back. We probably shouldn't be going to a Michelin-starred restaurant because we've just quaffed a multinational organisation golden arched snacko on the way here. But here we are, number 5 Fens Quay, otherwise known as Ichigo Ichi. Hey, Radio 4 of you. We knock on the door.
Who lives at a house like this? Even though it isn't a house,
it isn't a house. Restaurant. It's a restaurant.
And all it has is the cherry blossoms on the door, so
it does.
It's the only thing you can see.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Hi. Thank you. Hello. Great to see you. Oh yeah, we're not doing that. Hello. Arm stuff. Yes. How are you?
Long time no see.
How are
you keeping? Good.
Very well.
Good.
Just before we kick off with this episode, this was not recorded on the date that it was published on, naturally, because of the situation going on in the world right now. This was recorded a little bit beforehand. It was actually, funnily enough, at the very beginning of the whole COVID-19 crisis, so we're all still learning, still understanding things, but when we walked in, there was no shaking of hands, we had hand sanitizer and everything. So it's just sad to see how the whole industry has gone in the past couple of weeks, and how many of the people who you have heard in the past or are going to be hearing on future episodes of Chew the Fat, how their businesses have changed. Takashi, in particular, mentions Miyazaki, his takeaway, his ramen and dumplings and everything like that. They're still in operation on certain days for collection. Once this passes, hopefully you will all get the opportunity to pop into Ichigo Ichi, especially after hearing this whole episode.
Hello. My name is Takashi Miyazaki. I came to Ireland in 2008. I'm a chef, a Japanese chef, and I have a takeaway, Miyazaki Japanese takeaway in Cork City. And I also, 2 years ago, I opened a Japanese couple style kaiseki restaurant, Ichigo Ichi.
Thank you for having us. I'm delighted to be down.
It's long overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue.
You've been on our wish list for quite a long time for this podcast. Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we're so rarely down in Cork, ultimately.
And then squeeze and everything then, in.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Well, you've been in Miyazaki and thanks so much for that. Every time you're doing a story on Insta and then the followers just boom. So last time you were there,
it was him on his own.
Was it?
Yes. You were doing your speech course down here, working your arse off for several hours a day, and I came down to visit because I like to just make advantage of you know having a place to stay. And I was like, I'm going out for lunch
you
and dinner.
An hour or a half hour.
Yeah.
And said, if I run, I can squeeze in there just before they close. Yeah, and he did.
Yeah. And he was jealous. And then he was like, did you bring Enton back?
And they always open.
Yeah. But no, we love it there. But this is our first time in here. And we were just saying it's very unusual because last time we were here it was Fens Quay, which of course is Kate Lauder's place.
Oh, yeah. You've been there before, Fens Quay.
We ate in Fens Quay under Kate.
Twice.
But quite a few years apart. So I'd say we ate in there in like 2011.
Yeah.
And then we ate in there 3 or 4 years after that.
Okay.
So kind of at the end of it. In here it has transformed though. It's very different.
Yeah.
Very different. We changed a lot actually. Yeah.
It's a beautiful space.
How was that?
Thank you.
How was the overhaul of the interiors?
We started designing with my Japanese friend. Actually, he has his own kind of business in Cork, based in Cork, and he's a builder, carpenter, like. And he does. It's called a triangle production,
and they do like, you know, opera house, Cork opera house, or Everyman theatre, and they do and set for the stage. And then the first one, when I opened Miyazaki, that would be this Friday, 5 years.
No way!
Yeah.
5 years
this week? Yeah, it's Friday. So,
wow.
Actually, we do Miyazaki take over Ichigo Ichie Friday night. Yeah.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah, so we do 5 years anniversary, and five course menu, €55, everything about five.
I see a theme.
Yes. Yeah. So we do, and it would be great. I just wanted to get the Miyazaki's customer to Ichigo Ichie, and we do more kind of casual style, and the music might be changed. Normally kind of jazzy here, but in Miyazaki, you know, they play like a rock and stuff like, so they're gonna play, we're gonna play here in Miyazaki's music playlist. And then,
have you ever a crossover of your audiences, or are they quite strict of I'm either there or here?
Yeah, we do two of them completely different. So Miyazaki is what Japanese people eat every day, sort of really casual, and then lunch, dinner, and you know, to kind of quick eat lunch or dinner, like. And that here, Ichigo Ichie is a concept, is I won't make a high-end, which is there's no much high-end kaiseki style, and also kapo style in Ireland, and even in Europe, only a few. So that was kind of huge demands that people wanted me to open that high-end restaurant. I wasn't before. I wanted to open the izakaya.
Okay.
More casual than, you know, drinking beer and then share the place. And then, but I thought this is going to be my last one. So I want to finish that very high end. So that was a big challenge for me because I don't have much experience, but.
I'm not so sure.
You have a good bit of experience, though.
I've been cooking a long time, I don't have a master of the, you know, sushi master or kaiseki master, because I never worked. I only worked izakaya, something like that.
And is it a thing in Japanese cuisine that you almost maybe are not, you're not seen as that level of cook, so therefore you maybe don't aspire to it? Is that how it works? Whereas, I guess a lot of Irish chefs, whereas a lot of Irish chefs would go, well, I'd like to do high end and I'd like to do casual, and I'm going to do both of them and see how they go.
And what I'm doing here is a very unique, is I think only here, because I use a lot of Irish local products and ingredients, and then just giving them Japanese technique. That's why I always a hashtag Irish products and Japanese techniques. That's what we do, and so it won't be in Japan, like, you know, like this restaurant and taste, because I use that. And so this is completely new and a big challenge for me. So every time I'm researching about something new, ingredients and products, and then just to cook in the Japanese way. And if it's work, then it's really, really happy, you know.
Of course. For the uninitiated, could you explain kaiseki?
So kaiseki is the course menu. So normally in Japan we have about 9 to 10 course. Here Ichigo Ichie we have 12 course always. That's why I wanted to show everything how to. And in the 12 course, like, it's called sakizuke. Sakizuke is like amuse-bouche. And something small, and the next one is it's called oshinogi. Oshinogi, that means like you need to get something carbohydrate, such as a something small noodle or something rice dish, to avoid get drunk. It's true. Yeah, that's what oshinogi means.
So all of us Irish skip that course and head straight on to the other.
That's right. They take all the opportunities. So. Right, and then next one is We have a kind of dashi broth dish, and then sashimi dish, and you know, starter dish, and all coming.
Yeah.
And then steam dish, grill dish, and a rice dish. So
incredible.
It's very fun for me, like, to make the menu is fun. So kaiseki is the all the course. Also, we follow the seasonal ingredients.
Okay.
So kaiseki and Japanese cuisine all about season. So here Ichigo Chair, we keep the seasonal menu about 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay.
So which is 1.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So in Japan, we have exactly the four seasons,
yeah.
Right? And one season about 3 months. So 1.5 months, for example, now early spring menu.
Yeah.
And then late spring menu, yeah. Like that, and then 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we always following the ingredients are slowly changing.
Yeah.
So that we saying like the spring. Spring is like bot season, new bots coming up.
Yeah.
So actually we use a lot. And also
the
new mountain vegetables coming up. And only that season we can eat it.
Mm.
And because after that, the toxin coming up.
Like. Okay.
And then spring, summer. Summer is like a kind of new green season,
mm-hmm.
you know, bright green season. And then we have like a, you know, like in Japan, we have aubergine and tomato and the peppers and the stuff like that. And then autumn is like, you know, all the leaves are falling and then giving a great soil for the winter.
Mm,
so autumn is that we have like seasonal mushrooms and then, you know, mountain vegetables. And then winter season is the best for the root vegetables because they got the great nutrients, the soil.
So
we follow in that.
Incredible.
So that's the Japanese cuisine. And
yeah.
then kaiseki is all about seasonal.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And are Irish ingredients as inspiring as the ingredients are in Japan?
Actually, we use a lot of beetroot. And it's very hard to get the beetroot too. And the parsnip, like the flavor, and I really like that.
Yeah.
And kind of special flavor, and earthy, and then sweetness they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't get in the, when I was in Japan, when I couldn't get in the parsnip. And I was working at Irish bar, and I was cooking Irish food then in Hiroshima, and that time back in 2000.
Okay.
Both of the, anyway. Sorry.
So, more about that.
Yeah,
I'm so interested in
you,
Irish food, Irish bar.
Yeah.
Had you been
Japan.
In Ireland before?
I have. Well, before I got the job working at Irish bar restaurant, I've never been Ireland before. Yeah.
So, what were your perceptions of Irish food at that point? Dare I ask?
I have no job that time, but I saw the advertising and then head chef looking for head chef in the Irish bar, Molly Malone's.
Of course,
everywhere. And I liked the U2 that time.
Good.
And then I liked you know, Irish music stuff like, you know, and kind of. Very new for me.
Why not?
Yeah.
So like Irish stews, Irish, Irish fish, Irish chowdery stuff.
Yeah, we made like Irish stew, bangers mash. and cottage pie, and then some lamb dish and stuff like that. So I got in the train from the chef came from Galway.
No way.
Yeah, and she stayed about one and a half months. Like,
okay.
And every day, like, I got to train, like,
That's incredible.
Yeah. So it was a great experience then.
Yeah, so
I have no idea what is Irish food, like,
no.
You know.
Mm.
But very interesting, and I think my Irish stew is quite good, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah, and that's it. So, and then I met my future wife then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, so that's why I'm in here. I'm in Ireland now. Yeah.
And are you happier in Ireland than at home?
I'm very happy. Especially Cork, just love it.
Why?
I always say, like, I'm from south. I'm from Fukuoka. It's the southwest, and I kind of my body wants to stay in the south. Southwest, and then West Cork's beautiful, and close to the beach, and you know, swimming, surfing, and clean water, and even like foraging the seaweed is so easy to access. And that's it. And you know, water is good, and there's great English market, and great artisan products, and then daily is amazing. You know, so straight away we moved to Cork.
If only our area had an English market.
It is the thing about Cork that I think everyone, any person with a remote interest in food, it's just the mecca of it. In this city in general, has, I remember in a previous podcast talking about Cork with Lily Higgins, and we asked a question about everyone going, oh my god, everything is in Cork, all the Michelin stars, it's all happening. And her attitude is, most people in Cork just go, sure, it's always been here. Better accent than mine.
Only all of you who are now finding it, but here in Cork, we've always had this.
So, what makes a city such like a draw for food and drink in particular?
I think that Cork is still like... more changing and changing. And the good thing is like that lots of young chef is quite good skills chef. And I'm not sure, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I didn't see much those, you know. And then chefs doing more new thing. And also try to go back to the traditional cooking and stuff like that. So those kind of the fusion of, you know, new things, and then keep the traditional way and traditional products, and you know, recover more what Irish people used to cook. So they're starting to focus now. That's why we have seen like a very interesting menu, and then so it's not only Cork, I say, but Cork is great for, you know, the products, and then no much competition, like. We go all together like that, so which is great.
I love that. I love that.
So you're in Ireland since 08?
08.
So you've obviously seen Irish cuisine and Irish ingredients transform over the years, and it's like at a head, and it's blossoming internationally, and it's got a name. How have you seen Irish cuisine evolve?
Irish cuisine evolve. I'm Japanese, and I came to Ireland, and I start doing different things. But for me, this is kind of my cooking style. But for here, could be new, you know, mixed with the Japanese ingredients or Japanese techniques. That's the thing. You know, the thing is changing. It's like some, for example, Jordan Bailey, and you know, he came into Ireland, and what he does is incredible. Like,
it really is.
You know, it's just super genius. Like, how, like, but what I do is I use a koji. Then I make the fermentation, and that's a traditional way, but it's very new for here. And that's why and people want to know, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with the koji or miso? How do you deal with the seaweed? Because there existed so many different type of seaweed and stuff like that. So, and then young Irish chef, they gone to Canada, they gone to Australia, and they gone to France, and they learned and come back, and they're really like spongy, like really good, quick to learn. Like, so I'm always say I'm slow learner. So for me, I'm looking at those Irish young chefs, it's incredible, really fast, and that's why they want to know, they want to learn, and they're so keen. That's why they're like. Get the more, you know, skills. Like, So that's a change.
It sounds like you have so much admiration for a lot of the up and coming chefs around the country. Is there anywhere in particular around Ireland that you've been to lately that you've been blown away by, or that you often frequent to because you just love the food so much?
I just love food. I just love cook. That's it. So,
same.
Yeah, I cook at home and then I found new things and I just bring to this kitchen or Miyazaki. So always like you have the antenna or you know, open dash, and always keep looking at something, and I have a question. What's this? Why? Like still I'm learning. Keep learning. That's the thing I think.
So you're constantly inquisitive.
Just what I say, geek.
Same. And you said that you aren't opening any other place. How come?
I want to keep this small
here.
Because still I need to keep an eye on the quality and then also business and standards. The quality is the first and priority.
Of course.
And then the business is a kind of second, because to keep up that our opportunity. So if I expand more, I won't be able to keep an eye on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just am afraid about the tiny change, you know, those things are. That's, I wouldn't like that. Even like Miyazaki is a 5 minute walk from here. And I go like 3 days a week, 4 days a week, and then still I'm checking that. I trust them, and they're brilliant. But that's I have to. If any something small change, and then you know, I tell a little bit, maybe you should do this one. Like you know, that's a keep up the good standards.
Absolutely. In Ichigo Ichi, how many of you are in the kitchen?
For the prep time, I have three chefs in the kitchen, and I do myself behind the bar. So four chefs. Very small. I'll show you the kitchen later. The kitchen is so small, which is great. So compact, and they don't need to run. They don't need to, you know. And so service time, during the service, we have we need two chefs. And then I'll be behind the counter. So keep the kind of balance in that, even hours, the chef's hours, and then,
And at the counter, it is kind of your, I suppose, premier experience for here. Do you really enjoy seeing the faces of your customers? Because I know some chefs love a wall and a door and go, there's the food, get it out, I don't want to see anyone's reaction.
I don't know. I just love the service, and then I love the people asking questions, and I love to see people really interesting. Sometimes I feel like, to be honest, the people come at the counter and then no talk and then nothing, you know. I was like, why are you at the counter? Like, you know. Yeah, and then other, the table from the dining area, and people keep looking at the counter, you know. I was like, but you know, everybody different, like, so maybe he could be, so she could be shy, something like that, but totally, I really enjoy that, and then people asking the question, and I answer that, and then people try to look good, and this is another great thing. It's like sometimes demo cooking demo in front of the task.
How do you expected your star
when we open it? And we just keep saying, don't think about Michelin star, don't think about Michelin star, we don't go for it. We need to do what we do. And so everybody was happy and relaxed, like they could focus on the everything new thing. So in 4 weeks since we opened, and the first inspector came in, he was at the counter in the middle, and I didn't expect him, because you know, if they are interested, and which is great, but it's too early. Four weeks on.
I mean, it's hardly even open.
And then we are like, kind of nervous of the new, everything new and stuff like. And the inspector came, and the second one came, and we are lucky, because it's that time, like in the first season, like in totally different menu, you know. And then, but we got star. But why I was happy was they liked what we do. And exactly, they got the point, like what we do, using local ingredients and, you know, giving Japanese technique. And then I was like, ah, I'm so happy because they liked it, they're interested about what we do. And if it's tasty, so it's not that like a presentation and stuff, they but like just tasty food. So
is having a star a help or a hindrance?
The first year was the massive big help, like, and straight away we are crazy busy. And second year was okay. It wasn't full every day.
Okay.
Yeah, and even a weekday we have kind of plenty of rooms.
Okay.
Yeah, so but see, the rumor is bigger than the actual, you know.
True.
So we are told like, oh, 6 months you can't make a booking, like that. So some strange rumor going around, and then the second year we couldn't get that much guests. That was pretty was shame actually.
I'm really surprised about that.
You're actually not the first person in this industry who we've spoken to in the last couple of days who've actually said about this exact thing of it takes a couple of people to go around going, it's really hard to get a table, there's always queues, you'll have to wait 6 months. And then that word gets out.
Yeah.
And then it's not true sometimes.
So the prime example of hype, how hype is created and spirals on and spurs on and creates rumors and all of that, and so hype actually hinders a lot.
And I think in the case of that you know, people are afraid to even try and book and see if things are available, because they just think, oh, I'd never get a table in there, type of thing.
Even like walk in the city and you know, people call me, you must be busy and crazy. Like, I'm not really. Like, no, you can't get the table. No, I know. Just the counter is busy. Even like we open the booking is every 3 months.
Yeah.
So why 6 months? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Counter is quite busy, and about here in the dining table, like, there's plenty of. Even like a weekday, weekend is we are busy. Weekdays is plenty of room, like, so.
So come along
if you're listening.
Absolutely.
Amp it up.
Yeah.
So you operate a high end place and a kind of a casual place. Is it easier operating the casual over the high end? Is it easier in high end?
That's a great question. I think like 50-50, like, you know, if I go casual, we get really tough parts. You know, if it's casual and we get really busy and the order coming randomly, and we won't get the, you know, good service or something, I don't know. Because Miyazaki is crazy busy, keep moving.
Always,
moving.
Yeah.
Here is like just calm and then just quiet. You know, it's like a zen, and then just we go all the food going every other, you know, same time, so easy to organize. But the prep is so many prep in here, and then high end, and we do high end ingredients, so we have to look after more careful about it, and then more care about the our guest. Because they pay that much amount, and so it's totally different culture and stuff. Like, I think so. Just either way, we do, like, which you need to focus, because different concepts.
Of course,
so you have to focus this way, and then the other one you have to focus this way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of having two different hats, but doing the same thing at different standards, different levels.
Is it true to say Ichigo Ichi is an experience?
It is experience, yes.
It's the It's the food, it's the service, it's the interior, it's the feeling, it's the music.
I think you all experienced then.
Yeah.
So ichigo-ichie means we saying that the moment perfected.
Okay.
So ichigo is a one meeting and ichigo is a one chance and ichie means one meeting.
Mm. Wow.
So we do every moment appreciate it. And then that's every moment is experience.
Mm, yeah.
And then so when we come back here, you get another different experience.
Yeah.
So that means ichigo ichie.
How inspiring. It's in a moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's a lovely concept. And I suppose for a lot of people too, obviously folk like us are very lucky that we eat in good restaurants quite often. But
yeah.
The concept of, you know, you really saying that this is a very important moment. You are here for something very special and to enjoy every part of it. I think it's a really nice concept. And it's ingrained not only in the menu, but in the name and the atmosphere, rather than it being a concept that's just been made up and people still repeat themselves.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Lovely. Who inspires you?
Who inspired me? As I say, I don't have the, you know, master or kaiseki master or who inspired me. Maybe my childhood and, you know, as I say, I love eating and still like a good, strong memory with the, when I was a childhood with my family.
Mm.
I think my, you know, grandmother's cooking, mom's cooking, and all the experience, that's, I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm. And while you're talking about that, again, a thing that has come up quite a lot over the last couple of years is about education about food in the Irish school system. Is food ingrained in Japanese education in any way, or is there a stronger tradition of, as you say, cooking with grandmother and mother alongside, or?
I think in the school, it's completely different.
Mm.
But as family cooking, I think Ireland, Irish cooking, traditional cooking is a very warm heart, in, you know, from the granny.
Yeah.
And then, you know, granny used to make a butter like that. And, you know, brown making brown bread, Irish stew, roast dish, and then Sunday, all the family, you know, with the at the dining table. That's very kind of similar to Japanese. Well, we don't make a butter at home, but, you know, that's the thing. But the school, when I was in the primary school, and we had the, you know, the canteen, and then so each group, we have like a one class of 45 people, students, one class, and then kind of divided by nine group, like, so then about 10 people is as a one group, and then they go to the canteen, and they wear the white uniform, and then they bring back to the class, and then we get a big pot, and then they, you know, serve.
Wow.
And then after the week, and another group is in charge. And then the we call kyushoku, that's the school lunch. It's that system is amazing, great, like every day different. And we have like a, you know, Monday to the Saturday, we have a menu, different menu.
That is so cool.
That is a really lovely concept, and I guess that kind of begins the family gathering type of thing, except with a class. I think
and
it's beautiful.
The connection to food and to chefs and to cookery from a really young age, and like appreciating all of the work involved.
Yeah.
I would love that here.
I know, same. I know. Do you get to visit home often?
Not much since we opened in Miyazaki. I try to go back in every 2 years, but also, we got the two little boys, so we kind of waiting that when they grow up for the long travel. Like, so we came back from Japan, and after Christmas, after Christmas, back to Japan is still 1 week, and so that was great time. Great for the boys, and great food. They love the food.
Mm.
Mm.
How old are they?
And Sean is 5. And Stephen's in Newry 3. So.
Oh, wow. Irish names.
Yeah. Yeah, they were born in Cork.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Cork boys. Like.
What? Their last name is not so Irish.
Yeah, yeah. So Miyazaki. Yeah. Stephen Miyazaki.
I love that.
Such a cool name.
I know. It is, actually. And are they, as it, you're saying, when they were in Japan, they loved the food as well. And they are they really into food as well here?
Yeah, they really like the food. Mm. And sometimes they're like really picky, like, but they try it and then they love it.
Mm.
So it's funny, like, they had the something new dish and they just tasted like the first and then 3 seconds paused and then start eating like so.
I love that. It's okay, I'll start observe it. Am I liking this? I'm not so sure. Am I gonna continue? Yes, no.
And then they're looking at you going, you taught me how to do this, so it's all your fault.
So have either of them kind of kitchen aspirations in the future, maybe?
My boys?
Yeah.
If they want to. Mm. If they don't want to be a chef or work in industry, I'm ready to teach. But giving them a choice, I don't know. They're still small. Like, yeah. But I'd like them to be a big Japanese food fan.
Yeah. You know? Course.
Would you encourage people to come into the industry, younger people to come into the cookery and food industry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job. It's an exciting, creative place, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. Passionate. Yeah.
We're constantly always talking about going to Japan. Constantly. I think it is probably our highest bucket list destination. And I know you're not a travel agent, but could you give us a kind of itinerary as to what, you know, what people should visit, where people should visit in Japan, even, you know, place, you know, a place or two that you love to eat there, perhaps?
Right. I think if you want to know about Japanese food and so many different regions in there, and I heard our guests and been in Japan and they're gonna go back again because you have to go back again because you have to see it totally different. So Tokyo is great for sushi and the really high-end sushi restaurant. Probably hard to get the booking, make a booking, but it's great sushi because Tsukiji and then Tokyo and then to the cross. And then Kyoto is like kaiseki style.
Okay.
And you get the private room and then kaiseki style of course menu is Kyoto is amazing. And Kyoto, they have their own the vegetables and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's great to see sightseeing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tokyo is, for me, I like countryside, so for me, Tokyo is quite busy. Okay. Maybe you like it, you know.
Half and half.
Yeah.
I think like in and out.
Yeah, Osaka is fun. People is so different, so fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Such a, they love the joke and stuff. And then, my hometown is from south. It's called Fukuoka, and Fukuoka is good for the food. And actually, Japanese people traveling to Fukuoka for the food too.
Oh, okay.
Do you know tonkotsu ramen?
Yeah,
that's from my hometown actually.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it's not a big city, and it's like a Cork, like, you know, they're really compact, but a good city. Like.
Yeah.
And we have a few different very famous food dish, Fukuoka.
Yeah.
And then around Fukuoka, it's called Kyushu area. And the onsen, mountain, countryside is this beautiful place there. So I think the first time you go, maybe you choose maybe Tokyo or Kanto area, and then maybe you can down to the Osaka area. It's about, I say, 5 hours, I think, less than. And then next one is go around south area. And then I can check that and where is the really countryside is good. Like sometimes I heard like Wakayama, which I've never been, but Japanese chef goes to Wakayama to looking for ingredients. And some restaurants is just unreal. Yeah, it's really countryside though.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds perfect for us.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. We like a bit of city and a bit of countryside because it's
in,
yeah.
Yeah, all in the one trip.
All in the one, yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of Chew the Fat. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a review or rate on Apple Podcasts, whatever it is you do listen to this podcast from. Or if you would like to donate toward the cost of running and operating this podcast, go to buymeacoffee.com/chewthefat, where you can buy us a flat white, a cortado, or a few more of them if you like. Until next time, thanks for listening.